Good to be here this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would. I tell you what I want to do this morning. I want to go to... Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And then, a couple places. Acts 2, Isaiah 28, 1 Corinthians 14. Go to those places in your Bible this morning. And let's just study the Word of God, all right? We've been talking about tongues, what they are and what they aren't. And I believe that the Bible is our sole source of doctrine.
Amen.
Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. That's what I believe. And so when you go to somebody's church and you hear a bunch of stuff going on, you have to ask the question, is that in the Bible? Is that biblical? Is that right? And so those who say, well, I speak in tongues, commonly they're referring to an unintelligible language that comes, they say, spontaneously out of their mouth, and they say it is an angelic language that only God knows what it is. They will do it in their prayer, or they will do it in the church building or a church gathering or wherever it is that they meet together. That's where they'll do this. And you can legitimately ask the question, God, is this right? Now, only people with something to hide will tell you, don't question this, just do it. But God says, it's all right if you question me, I don't mind. I'd rather you get it right than wrong. So He told us to test the spirits. How do we test the spirits? With what gauge should we use? Should we use our feelings? I don't trust my feelings. I don't trust, well, I feel this, I feel it should be this way, or I feel it. I don't trust that. So we have to have an accurate gauge, an accurate measurement. Do they use measurements where you work? Accurate measurements. And if they're not accurate, what happens? Get in trouble. Jim Samarzich, do they use any kind of gauges or any kind of measurements where you work? Specified. Pre-calibrated. Right? And if you don't have the right measurement, what happens? All kinds of things go wrong, right? Jim will lose his job if he don't use the standards. But for some reason, we're not supposed to have a standard in the house of God. That's the way some people think. They say that's limiting God. Well, God is a God of order, which means He is a God of standards and rules and guidelines and everything else. So that's why the Bible tells us to test the spirits, and then it gives us the rule and the measurement with which to test them by. God said He held a plumb line in the midst of His people. Or we used to call it a plumb bob. Because it had a little bob on the bottom of it that was weighted down, and it had a pointed bottom. And when that thing was still, it was always pointing straight up and down. A plumb bob never lies. Never does. Okay? I don't care what part of the earth you are, it never lies. It always points straight down. So God is into standards and measurements and everything else. And so the Bible says this is how the Bible now is identifying for you what tongues, what unknown tongues, or the gift of unknown tongues is. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man, or how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? As far as I know, none of these guys were angels. They were human men born in different places. They were Jews, but they had learned a local dialect from birth. And that's normally how we learn and become proficient at languages, is that we have them fed into us from birth. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. We hear them speak in our tongues. That is what unknown tongues is. They are heard and understood by somebody. Now, is this something that God just decided to do just on a whim on the day of Pentecost? Or, as he said to Amos, I think in Amos chapter 7, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. Was this just something that God decided to do, or was it actually prophesied? It was actually prophesied. Turn your Bible to Isaiah 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Very, very important lessons. In Isaiah 28, it's a chapter that if I ever decided to do a study just on Isaiah 28, we could go a long, long time in that chapter. I want to pick it up in verse 7 of Isaiah 28, just sort of to set the scene for everybody. God begins in chapter 28, verse 1, "Woe to the crown of pride to the drunkards of Ephraim." He is speaking a woe, which is sort of a type of judgment. It is God's warning of his wrath or his judgment upon them. That's what a woe is. And God says, "Woe to the drunkards of Ephraim." And he's speaking out against those who have become drunk. God said in another place in Isaiah, he said that they're drunk, but not with wine. God said he sent a spirit of drunkenness to them. In other words, they are spiritually drunk. Spiritual drunkenness has the effects similar to physical drunkenness in that you can't see straight, you don't hear straight, you don't talk right. Think about that. Think about someone who is drunk and how their speech is. When a cop pulls a guy over, can he tell if he's drunk without doing the breathalyzer? Just listen to him talk. And it never fails. Some guys can kind of act, "Well, I'm fine, officer. I'm doing pretty good." Okay, give us the alphabet starting with the letter E. A, B, C. No, start with the letter E. They can't do it. They cannot talk correctly. They cannot talk intelligibly. They cannot talk to where people understand them. That's what drunk people do. Are you getting where I'm going with this? Because that is exactly the spirit that comes with those who say, "Well, I speak this language and nobody knows what it is." There's a spiritual drunkenness taking place. If nobody can understand your speech, something's wrong with you. Can I get an amen out of you? Look at verse 7. "They also have erred through wine." That means that they have errors. And "through strong drink are out of the way." In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they referred to the Christians as they were of the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So if they are out of the way, that they're not right with God. They're out of the way. "The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment." So just take this verse and go through your list of what happens to people or what has happened to you before when you were drunk. You can't walk a straight line. That means you're out of the way. You make errors and mistakes. That's why you shouldn't drive. That's why you shouldn't be around somebody else's wife when you're drinking. It's good. That's good preaching. They're swallowed up of wine. You cannot control liquor. It controls you. Okay? They're out of the way. Through, they're erring vision. That means they can't see straight. And they stumble, just like a drunk man. They stagger and stumble. The Bible talks about how in the last days the earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. I've got it on one of my videos. There's a video clip of Kenneth Hagin. And from what I can tell, he's up here at what used to be Life Christian Center. With, I can't remember the guy's name. Rick Shelton. But he's up there bragging about how drunks reel around. And the Bible talks about the earth reeling to and fro like a drunkard. It's funny, these guys take all those verses and they say those are blessings from God. See? Woo! So you have all these people flopping around. They cannot stand still. They can't stand straight. These guys are saying that's the Holy Spirit. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. As far as I don't know that 100%. But I'm telling you, these people blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Can't stand up. So they stumble in judgment. So wine and strong drink in the Bible, you might want to write this down somewhere, are a type or a picture of false doctrine. False doctrine. That means they don't have their doctrine right. It's not right. It's unbiblical. It's wrong. It's not sound. It is based upon a spirit that is not the Holy Spirit of God. I want to tell you something. When you got the real Holy Spirit of God, you'll be sober. Do you know what happened to the guy who had legion devils in him? He was running around naked. And they couldn't chain him up. He was laying in the catacombs all the time. He loved dead things and all this stuff. And when Jesus came to him and cast those out, he was sitting there sober in his right mind. He had clothes on. In his right mind. I cannot fathom the deception. I understand the desire for wanting deep and spiritual things from God, because I had that myself, and I went to the Pentecostal church one time just to see. God held that back from me. Boy, am I thankful for that. And then God began to show me this book. This book is a better alternative to what they're offering. Amen? So he says, verse 8, so what is the natural byproduct of being drunk, Roy? Vomiting. All tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. How does God use vomit in the Bible? Jesus said, because thou art hot, neither hot nor cold. You know what hot is? And hot and cold are extremes. It's like light and darkness. You know what they were doing? They were lukewarm. That is halfway between hot and cold. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to love the world and love God at the same time. They're trying to diffuse the world's ways in with God's ways. And God says, uh-uh. I want you either hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You make me sick, is what he was saying. So all tables are full of vomit. And then he says in verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? He's just contrasted that with spiritual drunkenness. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. Notice that it's twice. Old Testament, New Testament. Line upon line, line upon line. Old Testament, New Testament. Here little, Old Testament. There little, New Testament. For then he says, verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. He's talking about Ephraim. He's talking about Israel. And God was prophesying here through Isaiah. One of these days, I'm going to speak with stammering lips and another tongue. Now this is very interesting to me. Paul said in the book of Corinthians, he said, for we use plainness of speech and not as who? Moses. What was Moses' problem? He was hard of speech. He was probably a stammerer. God wanted to send him. He said, no, Lord, I can't. I'm hard of speech. In other words, can't talk right. So what? And God used that as a type. A stammerer is hard to understand. And the Jews only read the stammerer. So God said, with stammering lips. That's why he sent Moses to be the leader of the Israelites in the Old Testament. They don't understand what Moses is saying. They don't understand what the Old Testament is saying. Now Paul is saying, for we use plainness of speech. Now we're speaking plainly. By the way, that right there ought to speak volumes as far as this nonsense about, well, I'm speaking this language that nobody can ever know. Paul said, we use plainness of speech. Amen. When I talk right to people. They can understand what I'm saying in the language wherewith they were born. They can understand plainly what I'm teaching them. And so, and there's all kinds of avenues. I like to take this down. Number one, I believe God translated his word. Can I hear you say amen? Number two, this nonsense about we can only understand the real God through speaking the Hebrew language. Moses was a stammerer. Never forget that. Paul said, now we're using plainness of speech. Now you need to understand plainly what God's trying to tell you, that you're not saved by works, you're not saved by keeping the law. You're saved by God's grace alone. Let me hear God's people say amen. Don't tell me what you've done. Don't tell me how good you are. Don't tell me what you've accomplished in life. You're boastful and arrogant. Stand up and tell what God has done in your life. Amen? Stand up and tell what he's done in spite of you, not because of you. So anyway, for his stammering lips, and then he said, another tongue, will he speak to this people? So God was prophesying to Israel. Guess what, Israel? I'm not going to speak Hebrew anymore. I won't do it. I'm not going to speak Hebrew anymore. I'm going to speak another language. I'm going to speak the language of those dirty, nasty, filthy Gentiles that you hate. And you think you're better than all of them. I'm going to speak their language. And so he said, verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And we can link this with other things in the New Testament where Paul was talking about God had offered them rest and they wouldn't take it. God had offered them the land of Canaan. So they sent the spies in and 10 of them came back. 10 is always representative of the law. The law came back and said, you can't do it. Isn't that cool? The law comes back, Ten Commandments comes back and says, you can't go to heaven. And anybody who has ever tried to please God on their own self-righteousness, they've always failed. The ten comes back and says, you can't go in there. But you got the two, here a little and there a little, Joshua and Caleb, that come in and say, God said he'd give it to us. That's grace. God said he'd give it to us. Why? How come we're not going? Oh, 10 said we can't go. So God said, I offered you rest and you didn't want it. So now I'm going to give it over to people that you hate. So he said in verse 11 or verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That they might go, watch this now, I want you to picture this in your mind. That they might go and fall backward. What is it that's usually present in these churches, Phil, where they're all gibbering in tongues? What else are they doing in them churches? Falling backwards. Doesn't this ring a bell with anybody? Number one, they act like drunks. Number two, you cannot understand their speech. And number three, they're falling backwards. That is not the blessing of God. It is the curse of God. Amen. Why would you want to be a part of that? Why would you want to jump into that? And so I'm just trying to give encouragement again. And I may not be speaking to anybody here, maybe just teaching people online. Because they have tried different religious experiences. They've been here and they've been there and they've done this and they've done that. And I'm just trying to encourage people. Why would you want to go to be a part of a scene where they're acting like drunks, speaking unintelligibly, and falling backwards? Why would you want to go be a part of that? Because God plainly says that's a judgment. And I want you to get this too. He said the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept. That is always referenced in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But God sent them the Old Testament, and they do not understand who the Messiah is, who Jesus really is, because they do not have, or they will not accept the New Testament. To most Jews, that New Testament is a goyim book. In other words, a filthy Gentile book, and they won't touch it. They won't touch it because it was first given in Greek, the Gentile language. They won't have it. To them, God's still going to speak Hebrew to them. This is why when you go to a Jewish synagogue, when they get up and read their Torah, what language are they going to read it in? They read it in that Hebrew tongue. They will not accept the New Testament. And so God said, it's going to be this way, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So God did that as a judgment unto Israel. So when Christ, when the Israelites made their decision, now watch this now. When the Jews made their decision to crucify Christ instead of letting him go, when they made that decision, they were nailing their own coffin, as it were. So now Christ, when he ascended into heaven and God sent the Holy Spirit, they are speaking. Here they are. He's pouring out the gifts of tongues, intelligible, hearable, understandable languages. On that day, God was sending a sign to them that believed not, which is Israel. They didn't believe what God said. They didn't believe Jesus was the Savior. So now that was a sign to them that he's going to unhook from them, and he's going to go and he's going to be the king of the Gentiles for 2,000 years. But when he comes back, he's going to make everything right again with Israel and give them the new covenant, which is the New Testament. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go back now and look. As Paul quoted this verse, Isaiah 28. Do you think that God foresaw all this charismatic tongues slain in the Spirit? So you think God foresaw that? Sure he did. He foresaw that and he warned against it. He warned against it in the Bible. If I would have had, and I know God's sovereign, I know he has a way of everything, and even the stupid mistakes that I've made, God allowed me to make them. So I'd come back and say, hey, don't do that. That was stupid. Okay? It's like the guy at the party who says, here, hold this. And he goes and tries something, and everybody's watching him, and he ends up almost breaking his neck, and he comes back and says, don't do that. Don't do that. That's bad. Don't do that. Okay? Anyway, so he says, and God, if I would have known all of this, man, when was that? That's been probably 20 years ago. If I would have known all this 20 years ago, I would have never set foot in that place. But God let me go in there to see all that, to come back, and then he showed it to me in the Bible, and I'm going, okay, God, I get it now. Okay? So he says in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 14, in the law it is written. By the way, let me throw this out to you too. Don't let anybody tell you that the law is only like the first five books of the Bible. That's not what God said. God said the law was the Old Testament. Because this is written in the book of Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit is calling this the law. So everything in the Old Testament pertains to the law. Everything in the New Testament pertains to grace. Just kind of keep that in mind, all right? But anyway, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues. Now notice how Paul is expanding this verse. And he's doing so by permission of the Holy Ghost. With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. So it's not just one, watch this now. It's not just in the Greek language. It's not just in the Greek language. So when you hear these guys say, but the real Bible's in Greek and Hebrew. That's the original. That's the best right there. You say, well, right here, it says God speaks in multiple other languages. That's what God said. Well, that was only for them. No, don't fall for that. He said it in his word that he would speak multiple languages. And on the day of Pentecost, I counted 17 languages that God was speaking on that day to those people. And I can't remember how it is. Gail Ripplinger had written one of her latest books. She talked about how the Gothic language was sort of a forerunner of modern English. And she had traced those who spoke this particular language to them being there on the day of Pentecost. Okay, I forgot how she did it, but she did a pretty good job of it. But he said, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Isn't that true even today? Here God is sending his word out to languages, to people all over the world, and people aren't hearing him. And to be honest with you, one of the reasons why people are not listening to God speak in their own language is they got the pastor up there that's telling them that they can't hear God in their own language. That's stupid. And I can say that because I used to be that guy. That used to be me, Jimmy. Don't do that. I won't do that no more. I'll tell you, you can read the King James Bible and get as much or more than I ever got out of it. Amen? You can do it. That's kind of what we're all about. We're turning people loose. Okay? Here, take this Bible and go read it and knock yourself out. We even had a lady write software so everybody could just search the Bible, search words and phrases in the Bible, learn something. And they're doing it. And I just rejoice in that. Amen. I rejoice in that. So that's your definition right there of unknown tongues. Is that God said he would speak other tongues, and he did on the day of Pentecost, and everybody understood what was being said there. There was not one secret phrase uttered on the day of Pentecost that no one understood. Now, I'm going to get to... Let's deal with this before we run out of time today. What the Bible... Everybody says now, that's the I speak in the tongue of angels. I speak the tongue of angels. Okay? Let's examine that one from Scripture. Let's go to the Scriptures now and find out what language angels speak. Let's find out what they do. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, let me just run through some verses, and if you want to catch up, that's fine. You want to write these down, do your own study. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. So those who pray in this or say this language say that they're speaking a tongue of angels that mankind does not know, but it's done in the Spirit. Okay? So, and you can look at that verse, and Paul said that. He said, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels. So that's what they base it on. But let's run through the Scriptures now. Let's find all the places in the Bible where angels talk. And let's see if there's any place in the Bible where angels are talking and humans don't understand them. Is that fair enough? Let's just find what that's talking about. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. They were full of eyes within, and they rest day and night, saying, Yabada Shabada Shabada, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo. It's not what it says, is it? They rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. John heard them. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, Shamalamalamadaba. No, that's not what they say. They say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. John heard them. So John understood what they were saying. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, he's talking about the heavenly luminaries, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Day unto day utter a speech. Those are angels. Stars are angels. Day unto day utter a speech, not unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You know what that's saying? When the angels are declaring the glory of God, there is not a language on the earth where the men cannot understand that. That's strike two. Their line has gone out. You know what a line is? It's a verse of Scripture. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Luke chapter 2. Let's look at what this... And people will say, well, you know, God put the stars up in heaven, and they says that they say, praise God. Here's a picture of that. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What did the shepherds do when the angels got done saying all that? Did they look at each other and go, woo? They were speaking in tongues. Praise God. What did they say? I don't know. Woo! They didn't do that. They said, let's go to Bethlehem now, find this thing. Amen. They were not speaking an unintelligible language. Isaiah 8:19. What? Now watch this now. Turn to Isaiah 8:19. And I know the bell rang, but I'm going to get this out of me. I don't say that you have to know this, but I happen to know it and I can't deny it. Back in the 1400s, 1500s, there was an occultist by the name of John Dee. John Dee was sort of like the astrologer to one of the kings or queens in England or something like that, Queen Elizabeth I or something like that. I don't remember. But anyway, he was an astrologer and he was an occultist. And John Dee had made what was called a scrying bowl. Scrying is where you gaze into water or like a mirror, and you do that long enough, and then you see a spirit in there, and you're communicating with this spirit that's under the water. Think about that. Okay? That's what he did. John Dee was being told by spirits that there was a magic language that only the angels spoke. And it was a language that Adam had that had been lost after the flood. Enoch knew it. It was called Enochian language. And it's a language that only angels speak. But if man could learn this language, man would have the creative powers of God in his tongue. If man could learn this secret language that only the angels spoke, then men could speak things and boom, it would happen. There is one of these Jesse Duplantis. I've got a video clip of him teaching everybody that, how did he put it? That Adam spoke to the animals, and by giving them a name, he caused them to come to life. That when God made them, they were lifeless. And when Adam spoke this special language to them, that Adam's words gave life to the animals. That's why he named them. That's witchcraft, people. Witchcraft. So Dee spent the rest of his life trying to learn Enochian angel language. There's a branch of magic called Enochian magic. Dee did it. Aleister Crowley did it. Aleister Crowley probably had more influence in the 20th century than any one other human being in the whole world, as far as the occult is concerned. Okay? Most of the bad spiritual things that you see happening today, movies, music, television, you name it, all the stuff, Aleister Crowley and Blavatsky and these others. But anyway, he spent his life trying to learn this angelic language that no human ever knew. He didn't quite get it all. So when I read in the scriptures that angels, every time an angel spoke, people understood what they were saying. And then I hear someone tell me that they speak in a tongue that only angels speak. I know where that comes from. I know what it is. And I won't let it in this church. I had a lady come in here. This has been several years ago. She came in on Wednesday night. I taught. She come down the altar, and I visited with her for a while. And she said something about, you know, when sometimes when she prays, she speaks in tongues. And I told her right then and there, ma'am, I don't want to be mean about this, but I'm going to ask you not to do that in here. And if you do, I'm going to ask you to leave. I won't let it go on. Okay? Now let's look at Isaiah 8:19. Look at what the scripture says. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and under wizards, that peep and that mutter. Look at those two words. Familiar spirits and wizard. Those who have familiar spirits peep and mutter. They make animal sounds. And they speak in a manner that no one understands what they're... That's what mutter means. You ever heard your teenager mutter? What did you say? You know why you have to ask that? Because you didn't... And they spoke it in such a way as you probably wouldn't understand it. But they did want you to hear a little bit so that you could understand their hate for you. What did you say to me? Why didn't you understand it? Because they muttered it. They muttered something. Those who are wizards and those who have familiar spirits peep and mutter. Don't forget. Underline this verse in your Bible. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Okay? Familiar spirits, devils. It is a language of devils that they're speaking. Unless you can show me in the Bible that God's heavenly realm of angels show me anywhere in the Bible where God's heavenly realm of angels spoke and no one understood it. Show it to me. Okay? Then they'll use the verse, well, the Bible says that when we pray in the Spirit, we have groanings in the Spirit. And the Spirit maketh intercession for us with things that cannot be uttered. You know what that means? They can't be uttered. If they say that what they're speaking is the Holy Spirit groaning with them of things that can't be uttered, that means that you can't say it. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that you're uttering them and nobody understands. It means that you can't say it. That's what it means. So listen, I am serious as death on this thing. And it scares me to think of the number of people that are in deception right now over tongues. It scares me. And I'm not saying they're too far gone, because we have a following of people that have come out of that stuff. You know why? They decided they'd read their Bible instead. And when they started reading the Bible, they went, that's not what we were told. That's not what we were told. So, listen, I want to encourage everybody, read your Bible. Read your Bible. That way when you hear this stuff, you go, that's not God. I'm not done with this teaching yet. I'm going to show you. I got 2.5 pages of notes here. 3, 4. I'm not done. I'm going to cover it exhaustively, because there are people out there who need to know. They need to know this, because they're getting lied to and they're falling for it. And I hate to see that happen. I hate to see it happen. All right. So number one, let's pray. Pray for ourselves. God, don't lead me into deception. Don't let me go. Please don't let me go. And number two, God, there are people out there. They just need the truth. God, would you bless this church or any other church that's doing this so that people can know the truth? Okay?